Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers, and welcome to this Sunday morning. I hope you got up, you had your cup of coffee, and you put the dogs out. You don't put the cats out because it's unlikely that they'll return. You know, the dogs are a superior animal. I like to say that. You know what I get every week? I get hate mail from cat owners. And I don't care. I'm only stating facts. When you deal exclusively with the truth, you can speak your mind always. Dogs are a superior animal. Chew on that, folks. Guys, welcome to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy. As our producer, Josh, just told you, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. I like to tell you stories when I open up the show. Some of those stories embarrass myself. I tell self-depreciating stories. I tell you stories about how I skinned my knees professionally, but I learned from it. And the reason why I tell you these stories is hopefully if you hear it and you write something down and you say, I'm going to avoid what Pete did so it doesn't happen to me, life becomes a little bit easier for you. And that's the whole gist of this show. And you know, each week I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people as my guest. And today, holy cow, wait till you see who my guest is for you today. You're going to love this. But first, I'm going to tell you a little story. And this story is about competition. I'm a competitive person by nature. Hey, last week when it was Super Bowl week, I wore my Super Bowl ring. I'm in the Hall of Fame at Tewksbury Memorial High School up in Massachusetts. Actually, my whole football team is. We were a championship team every year we played, and we got a Super Bowl ring. Now, we didn't actually beat Winthrop in the Super Bowl, but the Redmond Football League was kind enough to finance us all getting rings. And every Super Bowl, I love putting mine on my finger. I feel a little bit special, but I'm competitive by nature. I'm also a very competitive wrestler, and I've wrestled in places all around the world. And I've wrestled from lightweight classes all the way up to super heavyweight. And I'm pretty doggone good. If you think you can beat me, Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com. You hear that again? Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com. Email me and challenge me, and I will pin you. I'm a 54-year-old guy, and I can still take you down. But the competition I'm going to talk about has nothing to do with athletics today. I'm competing every day for attention. You know, as a leader, you want to command attention. But you know what I'm competing against? And I'm going to tell you, the biggest thing I compete against are the smartphones that my employees have. You know, back in the day when the phones first came out, you know, you competed, whoever your audience is. You know, right now, I'll tell you the truth. This is what happens in my life. I compete with the phone, with my wife's phone for her attention. You know, it never fails. When I walk into the room, she's catching up on Facebook or she's texting somebody or email or sending someone pictures. My daughter, same thing. Everybody's on the phone. In my office, it's kind of funny. I walk through the office. Someone's on a phone or someone's in the hallway on a phone call or, you know, they're looking at something. The smarter the phone got, the heavier the competition was. The level of competition rose as the phones got smarter and smarter because now people are shopping online or they're Snapchatting this or whatever you call it with the other one. Or, you know, the phones aren't just, hey, I'm going to make a call or read an email. Now there's so much more. And think about it at work. How much time do you, as an employee, right? Even if your name's on the wall outside or on the signage outside, you still answer to someone. That's just the way it is. You answer to your clients, right? How much time do you spend that's not revenue producing, that doesn't directly help the bottom line and the top line of your company? How much time do you spend taking personal calls, reading email that has nothing to do with your work performance, texting people? Right? How much time do you spend maybe looking online at stuff right on your handheld device or updating people on Facebook? It's amazing. And if you quantify that, and then just take, let's say, you know, let's say you're an average person. It's over an hour a day, okay? There's, in every work year for most people, it's 2,080 hours we work. Take the number, take 1 hour a day times the number of days per week and extrapolate. You're ripping people off. You are stealing from your employer. What I'm advocating, and this comes straight from the mouth of Pete, the job guy, is no phone Tuesday. Take 1 day per week, and I want my employers that are on the phone to think about instituting this at your work. Okay? Now, I know people, oh, I need my phone. What if it's 911? Look, you can make plans and provisions for doing this. Okay? People can still reach you. There are different ways you can do this. What I'm advocating is you take an entire day that we're going to dedicate this day to being phoneless. You know, communication skills, our ability to communicate with each other is diminishing. Look at the folks. I'm telling you, talk to your kids. They're better communicators with their thumbs than they are with their mouths and ears. They create these online avatars that might be more bold or more outgoing than they are when they sit right in front of you and talk. You don't believe me? Just talk to them. Talk to your neighbor's kids. Talk to people. You'll see what I'm saying. The ability to communicate effectively, look people in the eye and have a good conversation is a diminishing skill set. It's happening. Because why? Because we're competing with our phones and the phones are winning. No phone Tuesday is what I'm advocating. And if one day we'll have you jonesing and just, I need my phone. If that's too much, try it for an hour, doggone it. The no phone hour. For this entire hour, guys, we're going to put our phones down. We're going to stay 100% committed to a task at hand. I guarantee you, you'd be more effective and productive without that competition. All right, all you hard workers. If you listened to the show last week, which I know you did because I have a very, very loyal following, you know we had Charlie Jimerson and we had Collins Lanier on, and it was a very interactive show. And I want to thank all the listeners that called in. Man, we had one call after the other, people on hold. It was fantastic. And at the end of the show, our producer, Josh McCarthy, he says, Pete, you know, how did you get involved in staffing? He was asking me some questions, and we hung out for a while, and we're talking, and I was thinking, you know, nobody knows the answers to these things. If Josh is asking me these questions, and I've known him for a long time, then everybody, other people might be wondering some of these very things, too. So my very, very special guest on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy today is me. Pete Langlois and Josh, our producer, who's a very, very busy guy, is going to ask me the questions. He's going to be Josh the hard worker today. Josh the job guy. So welcome, Josh, and you take it away.
Good morning, Pete.
Love it. Love the energy. Josh, I know I'm not the only show you produce, and I'm a little baby show compared to what else you do.
Oh, no. We all have our place. We all mean the same thing to the station. We are all one big WOKV family.
That's great. But what else do you do here?
Here, it depends. My name is Josh McCarthy, depending on what time of day it is. From 5 to 9 a.m. on weekday mornings, I am the producer, board operator for Jacksonville's Morning News with Rich Jones, Adam Kirk, Candace Thomas, and the crew.
Yep.
And then I quickly shift over to the other Josh, as what Mark has been calling me lately. I'm the producer for the Markay Show. So from 10 to noon, we're on the air for the Markay Show, which is a little more entertaining. We have a little more fun then versus for Mark, the morning show, yeah.
Listen, yeah, the morning show is a serious news broadcast.
It's a heavyweight.
I listen to it every day. Oh, yeah. I know the three big things anybody wants to know.
I wasn't downplaying it at all.
And I hear you all the time. And the Markay Show is hands down the most entertaining and informative show. I know everybody. If they're listening to me, there's a good chance they listen to Markay. But that's the best show on radio.
I love it. I love being a part of it. Mark is the funniest guy. How crazy he is on the air, you should hear him off the air.
He's two steps ahead of everybody.
Yeah, he's the wittiest guy, and he's always so animated, always so energetic, and it's really infectious because there's a bit of a lull in the day between the morning show and Mark, and then as soon as Mark comes in the room, you just get that little adrenaline boost. Like, you don't need that third cup of coffee come 9:30 in the morning when Mark is involved, because he just go.
Right, right. Well, you know what? It's your show. You're going to ask me, what'd you think of the monologue?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I got to tell you, though, the dog thing, 100% behind you. Dogs are the superior animal, and cat people can just go, like, I don't know, purr in a corner somewhere, because dogs are the superior animal in every way, except for independence. But then we can look past that.
And the competitive thing and competition.
Yeah, with the phone. It reminded me of a couple of years ago, as I was planning my wedding, as my wife was planning my wedding, and I was sitting in the corner purring somewhere.
Better said.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> I lost or broke or dropped my phone in water or something, and I didn't have my phone for 2 weeks. And for me, it was such a liberating 2 weeks. Everything I did was what I wanted to do. I didn't like have that itch to just pull something out of my pocket and check what time it is and then see I have some notifications on Facebook. Oh, what's this? And then forget to even see what time it was. Yeah. It's such a distraction to have that attached to you at all times.
I'm so glad you said that, right? Because that feeds right into what I was saying. There's an enormous amount of downtime that people don't realize, because when you're dedicated to your phone and you're tethered to it, it's like an anchor. It slows you down or just completely stops you from living in the moment, from living life. You're on the phone or in your computer or your avatar. And then what happens to you? So it's good. It is liberating.
You become the walking mannequin. I am of the people who cannot multitask when it comes to texting. So if I'm any kind of moving at all or doing anything and then I start texting, I just stop completely what I'm doing. I stop in the middle of JCPenney and my wife just keeps wandering away.
Right.
But it was just great. I felt always so in the moment.
Yeah.
And this is how you felt all the time.
Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying if everybody does this, no phone Tuesday, employers, you'll have more productive staff. Employees, you'll get more done. You'll feel better. You'll live in the moment. You'll communicate more effectively. You'll be more productive. Why on earth wouldn't you do it?
I'm in.
All right.
I'm in.
Well, I'm all yours. What you got for me today?
Yeah, like you said earlier, you spend so much time interviewing all your very high-profile guests and interesting guests. And every once in a while, you slip in a little tidbit about yourself and your history. But really, I think we should have a show dedicated to Pete Langlois, Pete the Job Guy. So today I'm wearing my weekend hat, my Josh the Radio Interviewer hat, and I have a couple of questions for you.
Shoot.
Question one, how exactly did you find yourself into the staffing industry? How did you get started into this business?
Oh, great one. Great one right out of the gate. And all right, nobody has a degree in staffing and recruiting. Right. I didn't go to college to learn how to become a recruiter or to, you know, here's all these things you do to make placements and, you know, develop a client list and all that. It's one of those things we just kind of end up there. I know for me, I like helping people. Right. And I like sales. Right. I thought I was going to be a trainer, by the way. That's my degree from Southern Illinois University, and that's Go Salukis. And my degree is in workforce education with an emphasis in curriculum design and development. And I wanted to train people to be more effective and productive. I taught the Dale Carnegie training program. I taught Dale Carnegie sales, attention, interest, conviction, desire, close. I still remember it perfectly. And I taught effective speaking and human relations. I have a gift for public speaking, and I just like to be up in front and help people. And then, you know, and then someone in my class, I remember when I was a trainer back at Merrill Lynch, someone kept getting up and walking out of my class, and it was bothering me. And he kept getting out, and I said, hey, man, you know, I'm doing this training seminar for you, and, you know, it's a little disruptive for you to step out. And he says, Pete, that step out right there, I just made a commission of, it was insane. It was like $25,000. He was selling something very big and all that. And I was like, what? How much money do you make? You know? And then once I found out about sales, I said, well, I can't go back to doing what I was doing because I got to get into sales. I want to make more money, but I can't step away from what I know. And I can't step away from the fact that I like to help people. So at some point, somebody told me that a company was hiring for a staffing manager, actually a division director in technology staffing. And I went and I learned more about it. I did my research, my upfront due diligence on the company, the position. And I said, wait a second. I can use this wealth of knowledge that I know already. I was kind of tech savvy. I like technology. I can go into sales where I have an unlimited top side on my income, and I'm going to help people all day. I'm going to help people sometimes at a vulnerable point in their lives when they need income. They need a job, or they need that next step in their job, next step in their career. So the way I got into staffing was somebody told me that this company was hiring, and it sounded so appealing as I read more about it. And then I interviewed and I looked at it, and I'm going to tell you what, I've been in it over 20 years and I've only had one good year in staffing, just one good year. The rest have all been great.
Mm.
And people that I placed 20 years ago, Josh, as a staff accountant at a company, they're CFO or controller now. And who do they call when they need help right now? So that's how I got into it. But what keeps me in it is the more people I help, the better I do as a company and financially. And I've built out great teams of wonderful recruiters that really enjoy it. But there's a long-winded answer to your question.
Yeah, that's more. That's plenty of information. That's great.
It's more than you need.
No, that's exactly what we needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to refer back to my list that I wrote down that I gathered over
right
the months.
Yeah.
So I happen to know the answer to this one, but just for the listeners that haven't heard yet, how exactly did you get the name Pete the Job Guy?
Pete the Job
Guy.
It's so
catchy. It's so good. It's now just second nature to say it flows right off the tongue.
Right. Well, it happened because Mark Kay invited me on a show. He called me out of nowhere one day. I guess somebody said, hey, call this guy Pete Langlois. He knows something about staffing. Mark had reached out to all his listeners and said to them, if you could have anything for Christmas, what would it be? You know, here the holidays are approaching. What do you want? And it was around 2009. The economy was terrible. And a lot of people were out of work. And Mark told me that an overwhelming response to this from his listeners were, I just want a job for Christmas. I just want a job. And Mark said, could you come on and maybe share some tips or help people that are looking to rejoin the workforce? And I said, sure. And I came on and I gave frank advice to people that were in the job market. And Mark said during a commercial, he said, hey, do you mind taking a few calls from listeners that are actually, you know, in the... So I took live calls and gave the advice, and it was interesting. It was fun. And Mark wrestled with my last name. He's Pete Langlois. I'm going to call you Pete the Job Guy. So he called me Pete the Job Guy. And then he had me on for probably multiple times. And we were able to give jobs to people that were out of work live on the air. It was wonderful, and it was, you know, for the people that, you know, Mark could call them up and say, hey, I understand you sent, you know, you're looking for a job, and you sent your resume. Yeah, hey, Mark. Hey, I have Pete the Job Guy here, and he's got some good news for you. And then we would offer them jobs live on the air, and it felt great. It sounded great, and it was a lot of fun, and that's the origin of Pete the Job Guy.
Oh, man. I got to say, I'm thankful for Mark giving me that nickname, because I think the first week I called you Pete Langlois on the air, too. And then I felt horrible. Oh, no. Again.
Pete Langlois. It's Langlois. I pronounced that S. The origin of that is Langlois. Pierre Jean Langlois. It's a French name. But we just say Langlois because Langlois is just, it seems too complicated for people.
All righty. My next question is, you always seem so happy when you talk about what it is you do and the dream and the opportunity that you sell people.
Uh-huh.
Is there something specifically you like most about this job? What is it you enjoy the most about the job that you have and the job that you sell?
Well, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I like to help people. To being a leader, I help my people to be more effective and productive by training them on you know, how can you best serve? And we're like servants in our role. We serve our clients. We give them the best possible service we can give to our clients. We ask questions to help them. I don't just want a job description, you know, and our recruiters just don't look for buzzwords on a resume. We show our recruiters and business developers how to ask the proper questions to really define what folks are looking for. So we always have a proper skill match, a proper culture match, and And the same thing from the candidate side. We take more time up front with the candidates to understand, you know, if the moon's aligned perfectly, what do they really, really want? And we find out not just specifically, you know, beyond compensation, proximity to home, flexible work hours, career trajectory. We uncover many more intangibles, and we help them also quantify their experience and prepare them for job interviews. And we discussed with them how to have fact-based responses and what behavioral questions are. And so what really trips my trigger is the ability to help so many people every day, day in and day out, year after year. If there was a job that was more fulfilling, I promise you I'd do it, Josh, but there's nothing better than being a professional recruiter than I can find. There's nothing. This is the best.
Now you're selling your own job to me, it seems like.
I love what I do. You want to be a recruiter. You know, I have perma-smile. You know
me.
Yeah, I
noticed. You're the happiest guy. Yeah.
I'm always high energy. I'm always in a good mood. When you love what you do, it's not work, and I haven't worked for 20 years.
Oh, man. What a great line. That's perfect. So you said that you love the job. You've done it for 20 years. Is there something that you've noticed that successful recruiters, is there a single characteristic or a group of characteristics that make a recruiter a good or even a great recruiter?
Right. Yeah. There's good recruiters and there's bad recruiters. You know, it doesn't matter what job it is. There's good, you know, if someone's sweeping the floors, someone's going to do a good job, someone's going to do a bad job. A good recruiter isn't someone who's dipping his foot in the pool and thinks, you know, I'm going to just check this out and, you know, maybe next year I'll do something else, or I'll go to another agency this year, then I'll go to another one, and they bounce all around. A good recruiter respects the profession, is in it for the right reasons, and they're consistent. You know, for me, a good recruiter is someone who has drive and ambition. You know, this is a job. It's a sales job, ultimately. So you're in it. You make commissions beyond your base salary. So you want to help as many people as possible. Most people are driven by the need to help people, but others are money driven. You know, but it can never be just about the deal. I got to make the correct placement. I have to do it right. I have to follow up with the client. Clients call me, they don't go into voicemail. Candidates call me looking for a job, they don't go into voicemail. If for any reason I'm not available, I will call you right back. But I call everybody back by the end of the day if I'm not available to take your call. These are fundamental principles that you have to do, because when people don't call me to say, hey, Pete the job guy, how you doing? It's either going to be, hey, Pete the job guy, it's usually, can you help me? Sure. How can I help you? What are you looking for? Pete, we're stepping into our peak season right now, and I need 30 customer service reps. And, you know, usually it's tomorrow when I get the call. But, you know, they'll tell me what they need. And they reach out to me. Clients reach out to me because I have advanced tools, and, you know, recruiting isn't an ancillary part of my job. It is my job, you know. And candidates reach out to me because they need help. But good recruiters, they show up on time. Before they leave every day, they're planned for the next day. They know what they're going to do. You know, it's a metrics-driven business. You know, in order for me to achieve X, I have to do all these activities each day. Good recruiters do those activities each day. They talk, you know, they meet all the quantified points. But the best thing is, you know, it's the human element. Good recruiters, the drive, the ambition, but they are servants of the people to the best of their ability, and they recognize their role in people's lives. Oh, Josh, that music tells us right now we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV. All you hard workers, and you, if you listen to the first part, which I know you doggone did, you'll see today's a little bit of a different show. The greatest guest we've ever had is on today, and it's me, doggone, and Pete the Job Guy, and Josh is the hard worker. What do you think of this enthusiasm, Josh?
I mean, your enthusiasm is just something to behold, and being in the same room as you, It's just, it makes you want to better yourself and all kinds of things that are required for this professional world.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I'm old now. When I was young, I had the same attitude and all this. But as an older person, I know that people respect because I've done it for a while. I've been at the top of my game for a long, long time. You know, so many people see me as a mentor. People that, you know, they work in different shops or I've known in a previous life. Still call me and they'll ask me, you know, how should I handle this? Or I'm dealing with this and I'm happy to be a mentor. And I enjoy that role. Yeah.
And so you're a mentor, you're a director, you're an entrepreneur, you're a leader. And I know you've worked for many different companies or at least a few of them with the same kind of, in the same field of recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What makes your current company, SNI Companies, so great?
Oh, man, this is like a can of corn, we call this in baseball. When you're lobbing that one up to me, I'm going to hit that one out of the park, okay? I've worked for three staffing agencies in my career. And, SNI Companies, I've been here for almost 10 years. And as chief operating officer of SNI Companies, I ran 36 offices, built it up to roughly $120 million company, built something really, really special. And in doing so, SNI Companies, you know, our key differentiators are, number one, the people. The people that we hire are people that have that drive. I look for people that are driven. I can show you the game, but I cannot give you a skill transfusion of drive. The desire, that competitiveness that you just want, you know, you're going to wake up every day and give it your best. So I try to hire people that are like-minded, that have the drive, not somebody that can fake it in an interview. I always say people are perfect twice in life, when they're born and when they write their resume, you know, or when they're sitting across from you in an interview, then they're perfect. Oh, but I try to weed that out and try to surround myself with people that are better, faster, and smarter than me. SNI Companies, some of the things that make us a little bit different and unique and perhaps better is our commitment to always evaluating technology and giving our folks the best tools that are available in the market. And right now, it's artificial intelligence. What used to take me, if a client called me right now and told me they need 50 people for Monday, I would have a crew of about 6 or 7 people working throughout the entire weekend to scour the database, to just scrub anything and everything to find the people to fill that order. Right now, we spend a lot of money on our artificial intelligence. There are algorithms that save so much time and energy. I can, you know, just a few keystrokes I can get done what took me 3 days to do and an entire crew to get done. So, you know, making sure you have the best tools is one thing SNI Companies is committed to. Another thing that we're committed to and what makes SNI Companies a little different is giving back to the community. We have SNI Gives Back, and each month we have a charity or we have an event that we do to give back and immerse ourselves in our community. There are businesses that give us an opportunity to serve them. There are candidates that are looking for jobs that give us an opportunity to serve them. And we want to turn around and also serve the community and give back. So, you can see on our LinkedIn pages and our Instagram pages, 1 month we might be walking dogs, which is what we did last month, or at the schools mentoring kids. My personal charity and one that I'm very passionate about is JDRF. And JDRF used to be Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, but now it helps all type 1 diabetes people that are affected with it. So we just go by www.jdrf.com is where you need to visit. And if you haven't seen, you go to Pete the Job Guy on Facebook, Pete space the space job space guy, not all one. You go to Pete the Job Guy on Facebook, and I did a toothbrush karaoke challenge, which is hilarious. And I much like the ice bucket challenge, you challenge people, you know, I'm going to do mine, and I challenge the next two people. Well, toothbrush karaoke is you get your toothbrush, and while you get your toothbrush in your mouth, you sing a song. And there's so many people doing this, and it is hilarious. A lot of people are having their kids sing the song instead of them doing it, but participate. But not only that, you go to JDRF.org, and you make a donation there, JDRF.org, and make a donation. Even if you don't participate in toothbrush karaoke, I still invite all the listeners to go out to doing that. But I could, Josh, I could go on for an hour talking about the key differentiators of S&I companies and what separates us or makes us different than the rest of the pack, but I'm going to cut it off right there.
That's fine. Yeah, I know that I hear a lot that the easiest thing to sell is something you truly believe in, and it seems like you truly believe in S&I companies. And I believe in something else, and that is getting to know the people that you listen to every week. And you and I have had a lot of off-air conversations, so I'm a little more privy to some information
the
listeners might not know about. So I'm kind of curious. What is something the listeners, they might not know about Pete Langlois, Pete the Job Guy?
Oh, man. I'm wondering where you're going with this one. But, okay. I played in bands for years, okay? And I'm not a great musician, but doggone, I'm a showman.
I've seen the videos.
I am a showman, and you know I'm a showman. I played in a disco funk band for years. And, you know, I tell you to Google it up, but the band name was Booty Call. That was the name of our band.
Wow.
And it was a 70s disco funk band. Don't Google it up. But if you want to Google the full thing, Booty Call Band, Charleston, South Carolina, you can see it. And we just had a lot of fun, and I'm a drummer and percussionist singer might be a generous thing to call me. I might howl a little bit, but I could get some background vocals going, and I sang a bunch of songs to lead on it, but it was so much fun. And my buddy moved up to Charleston, South Carolina, and we put this group together, and we became the number one cover band in Charleston. And when you Google that up, you'll see that James Brown, the godfather of soul, played with Booty Call as their backup. We had full horns, and he was coming to town, and we had full stage set up, and someone got a hold of our manager, and our manager talked to his manager, and next thing you know, we got documented pictures
soul,
and evidence
yeah.
there. But I like to sing and play. I don't have time for it anymore. But my daughter she's a good little musician, and sometimes, you know, we sing and have a little fun. Now it's just karaoke, but
some living room concerts.
Right. But I get to relive through pictures and old videos.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And how many people can say they perform with James Brown?
Not a whole bunch.
Yeah, but I sure can't.
I know somebody that can, and they can say it with 100%
right
truth.
In front of me. That's incredible. What a story.
Yep.
And so now we get down to the final question. And I say it's the final question because it's the final question that you ask every guest every week. And it really makes the people think. And it offers some good advice to some of our younger listeners. And that is, current Pete, having a conversation with 20-year-old Pete. What is it you say? What kind of advice do you give? What would you do differently?
I hit everybody with this every week. This is my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Is some of the great advice that we've had from Brian Burt. I mean, his is so impactful. From Charlie Jimerson, his was great. The last one, from Enroll Tech. I'll think of his name. Craig Tease. Oh, just great at Lori Day. The advice they give. Guys, go back to my old shows and catch the tail end of my interview with people, and it's just great advice. For me, what would I say? I love my life right now, and I've taken a lot of stumbles, a lot of lefts where I should have taken a right, and life would have been easier. But you know, where I'm at now in life, I'm at a comfortable spot, and I'm the sum total of my life's experiences. So I wouldn't go in there and change, you know, adjust the dials too much, right? Because I'm happy with how I ended up. But some of the things I'd tell myself is at a younger age is I would have told myself to get into staffing and recruiting sooner in life because, you know, I've only been doing it for 20 years, like 100% dedicated to staffing and recruiting. I would have started that 10 or 15 years sooner. I would have, another thing I would have said is in my military service, which I'm very proud of, 7 years United States Navy, I would have tried to somehow have gone to college first. So I could have received some of those salutes instead of giving them. But the hard work going to college nights and weekends while I was an enlisted serviceman, as my dad would say, it put hair on my chest. You know, it helped me become the hard worker that I am and has afforded me kind of the life that I have because, I'm appreciative of that. But, other things is just, just pay attention to everything that's going around and understand, you know, I at one point in my life, and, you know, I've reconciled with some people and bridges that I might have burned relationship-wise. You know, some things that ended didn't have to end on such a negative note. They could have been more positive. And, you know, while I have mended fences, if there's anybody out there that I've ever upset in any way and I owe you an apology, I'm sorry. But please reach out to me and let's talk about it. Let's square it up because, you know, when my head hits the pillow at night, I'm sleeping good right now. And I want to make sure that if I shouldn't be, you let me know that and alert me to that so that I can correct things. But I wouldn't change a whole heck of a lot, John. Josh, you know, that's my answer, and
that's
I'm sticking
with it. That's
the
best kind of answer, that you're happy where you've been and you wouldn't change anything.
Right.
Well, that finishes my list of questions. But now, if you still have time for your own show, do you mind hanging on?
This is your show today, my man. This is your show.
I wanted to bring you some of the questions from the mailbag.
Yeah, the mailbag. Which is the clever way we say it's Pete's email inbox, pete@petethejobguy.com.
The best.
But yeah. We always call it the mailbag. What's in the mailbag? Hit me.
All right, let me go through this right now. Pull it out of my magic velvet bag. See if we have time for one or two. All right, Pete the Job Guy. This is from a dedicated listener. Pete the Job Guy. I just decided I'm going to look for a new job. I'm updating my resume. Is there anything else I should do?
Well, yeah, updating your resume is key. Okay, but I would say first is, you know, narrow down what do you want to do? What industry, what job do you want to have? And you need to know that first so you can tailor your resume to the job you want to get. You want to draw out specific experiences. And if there's two or three different things you want to do or industries that you want to be in, you should have two or three different resumes. You have to tailor the resume. So even before you start putting together all your resume, you know, try to define what it is you want to do so you don't have a one-size-fits-all resume, you know? So define what you want to do, and, you know, then you start working on your resume. First thing I'm going to say is update your LinkedIn profile to mirror your resume, to have a lot of that information. Your LinkedIn profile, guys, if you don't know this, and Josh, I'm sure you do, but if employers right now and HR professionals and talent acquisition people, they go to LinkedIn right away. They want to see your profile. If you got a selfie of you in the mirror or you're sitting in your car looking cool, man, I'm going to tell you, get a headshot. And I tell folks, this is just advice I give. You know, if you're 30 or under, you know, it's if you're a guy, I always say dark suit, white shirt, pressed, and a bright tie. Make sure your hair's groomed and all that, and take a picture from the chest up, kind of a close-up, not you in a canoe or showing us that you're a mountain climber or you're, you know, this. And, you know, it also kind of depends on what you're going for, too. If you're one of the creative types looking for a creative job, there's certain artistic license you can give for that. But, you know, take your job search serious, and what you present to the world is very important, and LinkedIn profile is very important. And the last thing I would say that's critical is be aware of your social media. Don't think that a prospective employer, they're going to look at your resume and then they're going to Google you. They're going to look at your Facebook. They're going to look to see if you have some rants out on Twitter or, you know, whatever the social media outlet is. They're going to look to try building their own picture. And what's out there on social media, it tells a story to people. So you got to be careful about what you put on social media. So sure, updating your resume is part of it, but isn't the first thing that I do.
Now, not for nothing, Pete, but this might be one of the most exciting guests you've ever had on the radio show.
Whoa, he was good.
He was fantastic.
That Langlois guy, that hard worker, Pete the Job Guy, he's pretty good.
We should keep him around.
Right.
Give him his own show.
You know what, Josh? You know what it's time for right now? This is time for one of my favorite parts of this whole show. If it's not one of my favorite, it is the favorite, my favorite part of this whole doggone show. This is where we get leadership lessons from Coach Larry.
Some time ago, I was working in an international company, and I was responsible for the leadership development programs. We had offices in Latin America, but no one was providing our training in Spanish over there. Being bilingual and raised in South America and the United States, I had a desire to develop leaders in Latin America as well as over here. I finally got the shot when a local provider fell through and the Mexico City leader came knocking on my team's door. Long story short, what started out as, hey, can you help us find another vendor to do this training, turned into me delivering a 3-day program in Mexico in Spanish. I never felt so good, fulfilled, and productive in my job. I remember walking through the JFK airport on my return, and I felt like I was walking on clouds. You know, I know it's corny, but that's how it felt, okay? Now, isn't that a great feeling? I mean, what would you do to feel that way at work? What if I told you that you, as the leader, can create an inclusive environment that helps people feel that way? So let's break down this powerful feeling of inclusion. This research comes from Catalyst.org. You need to check them out. They've been around for over 50 years and have studied work environments and how to make them better and more inclusive. Research that was done in 6 countries shows that inclusive environments can significantly increase a feeling of team citizenship and innovation. Think of team citizenship as wanting to help your teammates out more. It's not about you, but it's about the team. And innovation, I mean, who does not need more innovation these days? So what's the formula for inclusion? Inclusion is defined as the balance of the feelings of belongingness and uniqueness, according to Catalyst. Think of a time when you felt that you belonged to the team. What was that like? What impact did it have on you? It could be a sports team or a work team, by the way. Did it make it just that much easier to do what needed to be done? Sure it did. Belongingness is that feeling that you are in it together and you are part of something bigger than yourself. What about the feeling of uniqueness? Think of a time when you were part of a team, yet you felt unique. This feeling of uniqueness is when you are appreciated for your difference. Not that it is tolerated or just something different about you, but it is leveraged by the team. Here's the bad news, people. If someone feels too much, though, like they belong, then innovation goes down and groupthink goes up. People feel like they have to go along in order to get along. If people feel too unique, then they feel isolated or like being the token one. So your role as a leader is to make sure that you create the atmosphere and share the tools to foster this environment of inclusion within your teams. Remember, diverse teams can outperform non-diverse teams if the leader has created the atmosphere of inclusion. If this atmosphere doesn't exist, then diverse teams will underperform non-diverse teams. So there are specific things that you can do as a leader to make it happen, to make an inclusive environment. If you want to learn more on how to do this, please reach out to me. You can go to my website at MendozaAndO'Brien.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry. And I hope all you listeners took down some notes, and the notes that you take are something that you're going to do differently as a result of listening to the show. The best part to take notes is when Coach Larry talks, because if you are a leader or you're a future leader, what Larry says will help you if you have the guts to employ his philosophies. He's tried and true. Larry O'Brien is top notch, guys. Next up, you want to laugh a little bit and learn something about the fair city of Boston. I know I do. And one of my favorite parts of this whole show each week is listening to Boston Danny give us the Boston update. Now listen, if you want a shout out, you want to give a shout out to someone, your birthday, your anniversary, go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. Go right to my website. There's a section right in there under Boston Danny that you can put in. Hey, it's my anniversary. Boston Danny, please give me a shout out like only you can. You do that. With no further ado, let's go to Boston Danny.
Good morning, Jacksonville. Danny here. Well, I survived Atlanta in the Super Bowl and all the pre-parties and the after-parties and also the big parade down here in Boston on the duck boats. 1.5 million fans attending. I'm sure you saw it on TV, but you've heard it all here before, you know, and for us, it's just the team that changes. So let's think about this. New England is steeped in history, right? Well, so are New England sports teams, whose fan base is cut across generations. The Sox, Bruins, Celtics, and Patriots all have roots that go back to the earliest days of their leagues. The Red Sox were founded in 1901, the Bruins in 1924, the Celtics in 1946, and the Patriots in 1960. That means that kids who are fans today have parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents who were rooting 50 years ago or more, just like they are now. Tradition kindles passion. Fan passion binds communities across multiple generations of family and friends. Even when your team is losing, you're still part of that multi-generational community. So, if you run into a friend of yours who is a Boston sports fan, give him a hug. Because being a Boston sports fan is hell. It's exhausting and stressful and painful. Do you know the kind of toll a playoff run every single season takes on a person? Every 3 months, we know we need to war up for offensively late nights 3 to 4 times a week. We need to prepare to have the stress of roughly 20 more games per year than any other fan base, and all of them are an 11 on the intensity scale. And if the game goes poorly, we torture ourselves with, "Oh, the sky's falling" talk every conversation we have until the following game. Coffee, Adderall, and whiskey are stocked as if the world is coming to an end, because no human can be expected to withstand all the pressures that come with this life on their own. So PEDs must be relied upon to get you through every night and day. You want to know the worst part? We don't always win the championship. Sometimes this is all for naught. A Sisyphean effort that sees the rock crush us right as we approach the mountaintop. Then we must pick ourselves up and get ready to do it again with the very next team. You have no idea the physical toll that repeated playoff runs for 2 decades have on a person. Yes, winning championships and rubbing in everyone's face is amazing. I wouldn't want anything else. But the road to greatness isn't only difficult for players. It takes a lot out of fans, too. I must admit there are some days I envy the sad fan, the fan who gets to watch great teams like the Astros and Red Sox play slobber-knocker games without grinding their teeth down to the gums and giving themselves male pattern baldness while rocking on their couch and begging the reliever to please close the door. It's a pleasant life. You don't experience the highs, but you're not forced to endure the incredible dedication it takes to reach the top. So, hug your boss and friends today. We're tired and stressed and we'll need it. And we'll repay you by being good friends. So, I got a couple shout-outs here. I got Laura Cooney. She's having a birthday, so I hope you have a wicked pisser birthday. Indulge yourself and enjoy it. And to Nick Figueredo, our very own program director at WOKV, congratulations on the birth of your new baby. I see a bright future ahead for your family. So thank you, Jacksonville, brothers and sisters. Peter, I'll talk to you next week. Have a great morning.
Thank you, Boston Danny. What I love is what he says, and Peter, have a good morning, all you. Peter is the way you say my name in Boston, and Danny and I go way back. I mean, we went to boot camp together 35 years ago, and back then I was Peter, like the bread, you know. But when I moved down to Florida, people call me Peter. Peter. I don't want to be Peter. My name, when it's your name, you got to pronounce your name the right way. So it was Peter. And after I told people, "Hey, my name's Peter, Peter, Peter." And then it's like, you know what? Forget it. Call me Pete. And that's how Pete happened. You know, we all know the origin of Pete. The job guy was from Marquette. That's what he called me. But Pete was my moving from Boston down to Florida. All right, guys. You heard me talk all about SNI companies and my profession. I'm going to tell you, reach out to me if I can be of service to you. 904-713-2550 is my number. Again, 904-713-2550. I run SNI companies. SNI companies, I am surrounded by some of the best recruiters in the business. And SNI companies, we're one of the largest staffing agencies in Jacksonville. You don't believe me? Just look at the book of lists and go to employment agencies, staffing agencies, and you'll see where we stack up. We built something special. I'm surrounded by people that move as fast as me, or they're faster, smarter, and better than I am. And they care. They care about our candidates, each and every placement, and we care about taking care of our clients. Guys, I appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with me, and I really appreciate our producer, Josh, for stepping up today and being the hard worker. You listen to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Go get them, hard workers.